Radio 98, Bob, you're on the air with Darwin Simodiak. Go ahead.
Good morning, gentlemen. Mr. Simodiak, continually since the beginning of this issue, we've been told repeatedly that one of the major benefits that will be reaped from Pan Am 1991 is the community spirit. Now, my question to you is, I've always seen community spirit as being the spirit of volunteerism. Now, it seems to me by the approach taken by your committee and the city that you've already done away with any possibility of community spirit, given the fact that you've gone to the taxpayer and basically forced the taxpayer to go along with this scheme. How would you answer that, or do you describe community spirit as being something a little different from the way I understand it?
Well, I can only speak from experience in terms of community spirit, having been, I think, an active participant in this community, and I feel very strongly that there are people in this community who are quite willing to sacrifice of their time and of their energy and make a commitment to make this a better place for us to live in.
But does that mean that they have a right to force others to do the same? I mean, I sacrifice my time and I volunteer my time for things that I consider worthy, but I don't go and knock at your door and say to you, hey, cough up so many bucks to give to me or else.
Well, if I could...
Do you see a difference?
Give him a chance to answer.
Okay. If I could make a comment, too, I've had the opportunity to experience firsthand what a major games involvement has meant for a community. And I'll refer directly to the city of Winnipeg in 1967, which played host to the Pan American Games there. Very successful Pan American Games, I might add.
Well, and, they lost millions of dollars. There was a $6 million deficit in today's dollar, which would be $20 million. Is that part of the human resource legacy you were referring to?
I don't think you're correct in your figures. But if I could continue with the comment about the Pan American Games in Winnipeg, a concept which was employed there very successfully was the concept of total community involvement. And I think the same concept was employed in 1978 in Edmonton at the Commonwealth Games and more recently in 1983 with the World University Games.
How much
and I've seen the impact that these major events have on the total community. And it's generates a source of pride, a source of enthusiasm, and I think there's a great deal to be said for identifying with a project and participating in a project in its many, many dimensions that can do something good for a community.
Darwin, you said that Bob was wrong here on his $6 million figure. How much did it cost the taxpayer in Winnipeg?
I don't have the exact figures, but in our conversations with Jim Daly, who was the chairman of the Winnipeg Pan Am Games committee, it was a break-even proposition.
Okay, the other thing, Bob, excuse me for just a second.
Mm-hmm.
I've heard others say this. I don't think you're alone. What do you do, Darwin, with the idea, do you think it's valid at all that here's our caller saying, look, you're forcing me, even though it's, what, $4.88 a year, you're still forcing me to contribute my tax dollars to this. How do you answer that kind of rationale?
Well, I think the same could be asked, then, should we as taxpayers be contributing to operating the LTC, the London Transit Commission? Should we as taxpayers be contributing to operate the public libraries? I think that argument, obviously, is that we as taxpayers should be contributing to offer those activities and contribute to those facilities which are going to benefit this community, so that single out sport and fitness and recreation as not being eligible to receive tax dollars, I think, is inconsistent.
Caller?
Well, then, if to be consistent for Mr. Simodiak means the government can do any damn thing it pleases and has no restraints on it, the taxpayer will have never any protection against this kind of activity, I would like to know where Mr. Simodiak would possibly draw a line, given his consistent philosophy. If he believes that the government can do anything at any time in any way, where am I ever going to be protected? How am I going to reduce the $1,000 a year I have to pay in property taxes? You know, we got the same story from the people who are pushing the art gallery and pushing theater on. And, oh, it's only going to cost you 3 cents a week. It's only going to cost you 10 cents a week. And the next thing you know, you're paying $1,000 a year for all these little bitty 2 cents here, 3 cents there. They're not 2 cents and 3 cents to begin with. That's the sales pitch. And don't tell me you're trying to sell the games. Boy, it would be easy to sell the games if you weren't going into our pockets without our consent. What you're trying to, quote, sell is a concept. I think that's what you referred to as your attitudinal impact, is to ingrain in us an attitude that the government can do anything and everything it pleases. And I think that the government's way ahead of you on that game. I can sit here and I listen to these same justifications. I mean, pick up a history book, pick up newspapers from years past, look at every white elephant, look at every justification, the same assurances, the same arguments, the same 3 cents, 10 cents a week. By the way, that's the first time I heard 10 cents a week. That's a new figure.
Okay, let me ask you.
On and on it goes. And doesn't anyone ever learn?
Let me come in here, Bob. If this thing were put, let's say, on the ballot in the municipal election, and the majority of people in this community voted to go ahead with this and to support this, and they'd be happy to pay for it, would that change your mind at all?
Well, it wouldn't change my mind if...
Not even a majority of people saying, yes, we want it.
No, I don't think that governments should be able to spend, the majority or whoever or however you want to justify it, do not have a right to just spend money that isn't theirs to begin with. You know, the old concept of taxation used to be that the taxpayer voted on issues, not everybody out there. For example, today you've got a lot of people who don't pay taxes who still have a right to vote. So obviously what they're going to do is vote money out of the taxpayer's pocket. And this is exactly what's happening here.
So you don't believe in universal franchise then?
Well, I don't know what you mean by that term, but I would certainly be interested in hearing from Mr. Simoniak his interpretation of what he meant by an attitudinal impact.
Okay, let's have him go over that again, and then we'll thank you for the call.
Sure.
Darwin?
Sure, I'd be very pleased to speak to that. As I mentioned before, I've had the opportunity to experience what these major games have done in other communities. And I think that it's difficult to put a dollar figure on community pride, community enthusiasm, and community involvement. And I really feel that to be a very important element of this particular proposal.
Well,
if I could just get back to your other particular point, I feel very strongly and I feel very confident in the democratic system that we presently have in place. And quite frankly, I'm very pleased to be a part of it and pleased that it operates quite effectively.
Let's give the caller the last word, Bob.
Here we get these nebulous terms once again, total community involvement. What a wonderful concept. I mean, you could apply that to anything and everything. I mean, everything I'm involved with is in the community. When you go to work in the morning, you're involved in the community because you're playing part in the market that everybody benefits from. But this goes on, and I haven't heard anything. All he's doing to justify it is tell us he can't. He's saying, I can't describe it for you, I can't put a dollar and cents figure. It sounds like he doesn't really know what he's after himself. I know the one thing he's after is the money in our pockets, and let's never forget that concept, because that's what's really going on here. And to tell us that it's not possible for private fundraising over 7 years to raise $10 million for an event like this is absurd. Look at any statistical publication of the advertising budgets of the largest corporations in Canada, half of which, incidentally, exist in southern Ontario. The $10 million represents like 5% of their annual budget for 1 year.
Bob, we're going to have to leave it there. Oh, hang on just a second. Yes, go ahead, Darwin, real quick.
Bob, I'm really pleased to hear that you're a very community-spirited person, and I might say that if you want to generate some of that community enthusiasm, that we would welcome your volunteer participation in some of the things that we will be doing for this community and for the city.
Well, I would be glad if someone would ask me for it, but that's not what's happening.
Well, that will be happening, Bob.
I've already been conscripted.
Well, we'll be getting out the information to invite citizens of this community to get involved in this activity.
Thank you for your call.
Okay.